1 through 11. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 34. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
If we were to plan a trip together, either as a congregation or a subset of people from our group, we would soon discover that we all have different goals or interests when we travel. Some people want to delve into the history of the region. Others, the art and the music. Some want to feast on the local cuisine, trying all the things that are different and new. Others want to really engage with people who live in that country. Others want to hike and explore the land, learning about the geography as well as the flora and the fauna of the region. But whatever your interest, you most likely find a guidebook or Google and find all the information that you need as you plan your journey out for the whole trip, or perhaps each morning, depending on how much of a planner you are. These guidebooks and the research we do offers us a way to immerse ourselves in a particular locale in a way that appeals to us. In the movie The Way, Joost from Denmark seems to have consulted a guidebook that appeals to his party nature and his yearning to try excellent food. But the others on the Camino, they seek different emphases depending on who they are. God has created each of us with our own personalities and gifts, and so we find our way using the guidebook that God has designed specifically for us. we don't always meet others' expectations, but with God as our guide, we will make our way. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The journey of Lent is one in which we walk with Jesus. Jesus did not really have a guidebook for his ministry. He only knew what his Father in heaven had told him about his mission on earth. And of course, he had the Hebrew scriptures and the support of his earthly parents as well. When Jesus had encounters like the one from the Gospel of Luke, he was using the guidebook that God provided specifically for him. It wasn't a guidebook for anyone. It really was his. The Pharisees in our gospel are warning Jesus about Herod because they know Herod is threatened by Jesus' charismatic leadership. But we also know that the Pharisees themselves will soon be wishing Jesus would get out of their hair and stop making waves. Jesus continues to make his way around the law in order to fulfill his mission of healing and preaching the good news. The Pharisees struggled to see that Yahweh God was working through Jesus to offer compassion to all those who needed it. Yes, Yahweh had given the law, and that's what the Pharisees were tasked to uphold. But they were unable to see that flexibility was necessary at times in order to care for all of God's children. The Pharisees had an expectation of who the Messiah would be, and it wasn't Jesus, or at least it wasn't a Messiah who behaved this way. There are often people who have expectations of us that are not in alignment with who we are or who we are called to be. We do not fit the mold of what they want from us. So how do we find our way in the world? How do we find our way around these expectations and live as God calls us? Well, any teenager goes through this kind of angst, right? We feel when we're that age that no one understands us. We're asked to follow rules, and our parents often want us to pursue a particular path. At least that's what we feel like. And we have a hard time expressing ourselves to them and really to everyone else. And half the time when we are in those teenage years, we really aren't sure exactly who we are to begin with. It's a confusing time. All teenagers have similar characteristics, but of course we are unique individuals. The thing is, we do all need to live together in some semblance of order. So there are laws and rules, and depending on the family in which we grew up or the community, there may be further expectations or norms that we are asked to follow or observe. As we grow older, though, we begin to figure out who we are. And yet we're often constrained by things that have not served us well. We may have fallen into a particular role or job because that's what worked at the time or seemed the most logical for us. But we realize later this isn't really what we want to be doing. It can be difficult to make a change and find a way forward on a different path. We may also have developed particular habits or ways of communicating or expressing ourselves or not that haven't made relationships easy. We realize as we get older that these behaviors have not helped us be our best selves. The psalmist seems to understand this as he explains that by letting go of expectations or things that have kept us in line, that we can in fact please God. The writer likens human beings to horses or mules that need to be controlled by a bit and a bridle. Those items are tools, and horses certainly get used to them. But in their truest selves, horses want to be free. And we know that horses can be ridden without those constraints. Growing up, my parents had a large painting of a Native American riding a horse bareback along with the rest of his tribe. It's completely possible to ride a horse without a bit and bridle. Man and beast in perfect sync that worked together. God created us in God's image and wants us to live in perfect sync with God. When we walk in God's ways by having compassion with our fellow humanity, by respecting one another and the gifts we offer, by building one another up rather than tearing each other down, as we work for peace instead of resorting to violence, all of these actions result in the joyful way of being in the world. By following God's guidebook, not rigidly or legalistically, we find freedom to be who we really are. When we're able to clarify our purpose in our family and our community, life is richer. Jesus knew his mission, although at times I imagine that he questioned what he was up to. But early in his ministry, he states that he has come to heal and liberate, to lift up the poor, and to love God. We are liberated from the things that have constrained us when we get in touch with our innermost desires as well as our talents. Sometimes being liberated is simply stating what we want. Not answering someone with how we think they would want us to respond. This isn't always easy. We have to support ourselves. And so that means, of course, that we have to have a job. We have to work well with others. And sometimes we're asked to do things we may not be in the mood to do. On the other hand, if we've been in a job or a role that makes us extremely unhappy, then perhaps we need to make a change. Can we find the way around or take a different path to improve our situation? It may not mean making a drastic change, drastic decision to leave our job, for example. It may simply mean approaching a supervisor to talk about what might make things better for you, which ultimately will make things better for everyone else around. Because when employees are happy, then workplaces are better places in which to work. Maybe a drastic decision does need to be made. We just need to remember that it may take some time to get there, especially if we have a family for which we are providing. God's guidebook, designed for each of us, however, will help us on the path. In the movie The Way, there's a scene at a hostel one early morning. Tom, the main character, looks out the window and sees the host of the hostel with a tablecloth pretending to be a bullfighter. He is clearly enjoying himself and does not realize that anyone is watching him. When he notices Tom has caught him in this imaginary bullfight, he says, "I wanted to be a bullfighter. My father wanted me to be a lawyer." I think my flute teacher wanted me to be a music major, to teach and to perform. I studied political science. And the joke was on me, because here I am as your pastor. Tom couldn't understand why his son would decide not to finish his PhD and leave on a trip to Europe with his plans very nebulous. He also couldn't seem to move on in his life after his wife's death, locked in a prison of his own grief. Joost, the Dutchman, was trying to meet the expectations of his wife to be skinnier. Jack, the Irish writer, wants to write a novel, but is pleasing his editor by writing a travel book. We often are trying to please those outside of ourselves, thinking that that's what we need to do. But that's not what God has asked of us, and it isn't necessarily what is best for us. Susan Cain wrote a book several years ago entitled Quiet. It is about introverts living in an extroverted world and how challenging that can be. As an extrovert herself, she explores in the book the ways that workplaces and classrooms, for example, are set up for extroverts. So she offers some tools for introverts to make working in these environments a little bit easier. She quit her job as a high-powered attorney in New York City in order to write this book, and she's continued working as a writer and a speaker. As an introvert myself, I was really drawn to her book and to her blog posts. One of the things that I have learned, and I, you know, you kind of know these things about yourself, but when someone else puts it into words and you connect, you're like, oh yeah. So when I was reading her book, it hit me once again that my job requires a lot of extroverted energy and work. And therefore, I have to build time into my schedule to become re-energized. And that sometimes means saying no to certain things. When I say no, though, I worry about hurting people's feelings. Or I worry about what someone might say about me not attending a particular event. But what I've learned, even though I don't always do this well, is that if I do not have enough alone time, I get overtired, I get cranky, and I eventually get sick. So if I want to do good work and good ministry, good parenting, be a good friend, then I have to seek that kind of balance in my life. I know that God created me this way. God made me an introvert. He's made many of you introverts as well. And so I've come to accept that, and I keep working at not giving in to expectations of how social I should be, either personally or professionally. I'm sure there is something in your life where you feel like you're always trying to meet someone else's expectations. So I hope that you'll take some time this week to think about that and think about what God wants of you at this time. There are so many ways that we give up part of ourselves when we stick to a path others have set before us. But we can find our own way. We can find our way around systems and expectations that do not serve us well. And in doing so, we please God for being who God created us to be. Amen.